at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Alright, everybody. Here we are, hour two, the Home Improvement Show. I want to welcome in 97.1 FM listeners. You guys, come join the party. We love having it. A lot of information, a lot of questions, and great comments and concerns in the first hour for everybody out there and the 97.1 site. Everyone can reach me at the same number, 314-436-7900. Direct line to me. Right now, phone lines are wide open. And so I have more information. During the break, I was able to actually walk out the studio door, walk back in, and get my memory back. So I'm surprised Greg Boss didn't call back in just to remind me, like, what in the world? How much work have we done together? But yeah, had a little time lapse there for a sec. But so I will say for Katie and your fireplace needs, out there, you want to go to English Sweep. Their phone number is 636-422-5628. So Greg Boss, all the guys down there at English Sweep, I've done work with them for years on a bunch of different projects, and they can take care of all your chimney needs, cleaning. They can do camera scoping. They can figure things out that, like we talked about, there are issues that can happen. Greg and a lot of the guys might tell you it's kind of like a furnace. It still might be a good idea to have that inspected and those gas fireplaces inspected yearly, just like you would your AC or your furnace or anything that's kind of a working, burning system like that. There are things that can happen and can go bad, so a lot of them will recommend just doing it every year just to be safe. You're really going to want to make sure that you know, you're doing what you can when you have a burning system like that. And when you think about gas fireplaces and we think about, like, the units that don't require venting and they're looking to basically burn the gas off at like a 99.9% effective efficiency there, it's something that you want to monitor and watch and make sure is working correctly. And they'll let you know that and be able to help you with that and get you through that. So get with Greg and all the guys down at English Sweep. One more time, their phone number is 636-422-5628. So they can get you taken care of. And speaking of taking care of people, let's go to James. We got James on the line. You have a question for us? Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. Perfectly. Thanks for calling.
So I am a homeowner, and I have a small house right at Dorset Lindbergh in unincorporated county.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have enough space. And I was wondering, I was thinking about maybe tearing it down and putting like a small two-story. And I didn't know if that would be, you know, cost effective as far as like resale, and also I didn't know usually what it goes for. I heard that 150 was usually per square foot for construction.
Well, so I could definitely say that yes, tearing down and rebuilding a new house, there's a couple things to look out for, and it is hard to. When you look at square foot pricing on things, it relies a lot on the service, the type of company, the size of company, and how they perform their service and how they perform their building. Because there's way better building standards than just standard building. There's really good custom home builders that can really make a house airtight, and then they can ventilate it well and have a really super healthy home. So when you look at the cost per square foot, you're going to see a lot of variance. It's the same thing when we go in and we're doing remodeling. It's we call it the chase to zero. The more things that you avoid and don't perform, the less it's going to cost to actually get it done. But the more you question, what are you getting out of it in the end? So it's hard to say an actual square foot price, because if you find a really, really good company that's going to build it in a fantastic way, the same sized home is going to cost more than if someone else does it. And it could have better warranties. You could pay 25% of your utility bills than you would built a different way, and you pay more money. So, and then that kind of reflects again on that return on investment too, because you have the land and you have the house and you paid for that. So now you're redoing it, and trying to get a return on investment on that is similar to trying to get a great return on investment when remodeling something, and you've got all this work to do to the existing home to make the new stuff happen, and it just costs more money, so it takes more time to recoup it. So if you had a blank slate and a piece of land that you paid $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for the land, and you build a house on it, that amounts to less money than if you bought a house for $250,000, tear it down and build again. You build a $750,000 house, you've got $1 million investment. You're trying to immediately make your house worth $1 million when it only costs $750 to build it. You may need years to get to that point of living there to recoup that. And of course, the better you build it, the better you do things, and the little bit more it costs, the longer you'll need to be there to get to that recoup. But you also save on some utilities and stuff too, so that can come into play also. So it's a good thing to do, and a lot of people do it. That's just kind of the battle.
Luckily I got the house and property for really cheap, and I love the location, but the prices of houses are so high now. I don't have any kids or anything, but my girlfriend and I are considering moving in together, and she's got about 15 animals. So we probably need something at least as big as her condo, which is about, 1,200 square feet. Whereas my house is actually 700.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yep.
So, I was doing the math, and, for at 150, a square foot, for about a 1,200 square foot house would be, around, I believe, about 170 something thousand.
Yeah. And I would say, in new construction, I do a lot of remodeling, and I talk a lot about how, even in remodeling and what we do at Mosby Building Arts, it's very hard to come up with a square foot price, because each house, each situation, everything's so different. You actually have to look at it, on a different plane to really figure out what it takes to make things happen. But I would definitely guess that I just don't see houses. I think they'll be more expensive than that. And I think the 150 you're hearing is probably low. And you probably need to talk to some actual custom home builders to find out, like, how do they build and where are they? I think it'll be definitely over 170.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I do know the price of wood is what doubled in the past few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing you really got to watch for is how they build the home. There is a huge difference from some companies to other companies in how you build things and the practices that they use to make the home last. Because when you have a home built, you've got this 1-year warranty. They're fixing a few things on the inside, some drywall stuff, whatever, in the course of a year, and you never hear from them again. And there are poorly built structures. There are ways of building things that you get what you pay for. And you could find somebody that does it for a little bit less and have problems down the road with leaks or things like that, that you're then paying more later and going through hassles saying, man, this guy said 200,000, this guy said 300. I went with the 200 because it was a better price, but the other guy was going to do a lot of things different that may have taken away all these issues and hassles down the road that I'm now dealing with later on that I didn't know about. And some of these things still meet code. I've seen houses that passed inspections, meet code, and the people had to move out because there was so much mold from leaks and just poor construction and how this thing was designed all the way through and put together and built, that they just had to move out. They couldn't even breathe in the home anymore. They were having asthma and all kinds of stuff happening, and the house is a total loss of it's a $550,000 house, and they're considering it a complete loss. It will take more to rebuild it than it will, and to fix it than it will to, you're just better off tearing it down and building again a better way.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So you definitely tread lightly and be careful. It's a great thing to do. We do it every day, but put your ducks in a row, have a lot of conversations, and make sure you've got somebody good quality, all that. And of course, that will come into play with what it costs and everything. So I appreciate the call, James. I hope that helped. We got to get into a break. We got a couple calls waiting here, so we'll jump to them as soon as we return. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We are back, having a great time. A lot of calls, a lot of questions, a lot of great conversations. Got plenty of time left for more. You can find me at 314-436-7900. Let's get right out of this, and let's get to Greg here and see what you got going on. Greg, are you there?
Hey, Greg. Rich, it's Greg. Hey, I missed Katie's question, but the reason I jumped back on the call is you had a gentleman that had a leak around a vent. And, you know, when you have professional equipment, you know, thermal imaging, a lot of people just go out and put caulk or tar around a leak.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They don't know who to trust. You know, they call a roofer, they call tough pointer, they call, and they don't know who to trust. You get a professional out there that uses thermal imaging and pinpoint those leaks around the chimney or around a vent. Instead of just going up and trying to patch what you think it might be, we can trace it. Because I've had a leak that was down by a chimney that was almost 12 feet away on a rooftop that followed the joist down to the chimney. You know, with the new equipment out there, you can find those leaks and take care of it. And I didn't know what Katie asked, but she can give us a call and we will get the peace of mind and getting it out there and taking care of whatever issue she has.
Yeah. And so her last question was on a gas log fireplace, gas log set, how often should she have the chimney flue cleaned? Which, well, I know if you research, it's going to say every year.
What would you recommend? I mean, if the chimney's never been looked at or inspected, I would just recommend having it done. What's really interesting is that people go like, my gas logs don't perform right. They don't look right. They're soot falling down. It might need this to be a good sweeping, but a refresh of the gas logs, making sure that there's no leaks in the lines, that I'll do a pressure, make sure everything lined up. But those iron bars where the gas comes out, uh-huh, of the pan, those holes get blocked up with the sand, and they also erode and start rusting out. We go in there and clean it, and we give it new life again, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Because 9 months out of the year, you're not using your gas fireplace, but you want it to look professional because that's where your family memories are made by, in that hearth room or by that fireplace. So you want it to look good and appealing. But, yeah, I would have us come out, sweep and clean it, and then we can set you up on a maintenance program. It may not be once a year. It might be once every couple of years. It might be five. You only use it twice a year.
Yeah.
But you just want, you know, you're introducing fire into your home, have it looked by a professional certified sweep and make sure that it's functioning properly. That way, and when you're ready to turn it on, it works, and you don't want to go, oh, it's not working right, I'm not sure. If you wait till October when everybody wants their fireplace to work, it takes longer to get someone out there. This is the time of year to have it evaluated and make sure everything is working properly so you can have those warm fireplace memories.
Yeah, no, perfect. Hey, I appreciate it, Greg. Thanks for calling back and filling in on that. I appreciate it. Let's jump over to Bob here and see what Bob's got going on. Can you hear me, Bob?
I can.
Perfect. Thanks for calling. What's happening?
Yeah, I've got a small crack in our foundation, and the basement is finished, and I really don't want to have them come in and try to fix it from the inside. I'd like to know if there's still somebody out there that fixes it from the outside, if you know.
Well, that I don't know, generally, because it's usually more effective and cost less when you're not necessarily taking your wall apart and finding the crack and all of that. So I've seen it a lot in different environments where when you're up in like northern and different places where they always seem to address it from the outside and trying to control the water and all of that from the outside. But I think that to actually do that would probably end up maybe costing more than taking the drywall, everything apart, getting in there and doing an epoxy injection from the inside. It still might end up costing less. I don't know of anybody that only addresses it from the mm-hmm. outside. They all typically do the epoxy injection from the inside. And I'll tell you, part of the reason why is when you put that epoxy over the crack and they, what they do is they drill in holes into that crack every 10 inches, foot, something like that. They put that epoxy over it with the little injectors on there. When they inject the urethane into the crack, that foundation wall is 8 inches thick. So when they do that, they are filling that up the full 8 inches until it's actually hitting the dirt. So if some of your crack is above the foundation line outside, you'll actually see that come out through that crack and they can scrape it off and clean it up on the outside. But it fills the whole crack. It's very, and this is, that's why it's so effective, is because as your water pressure is trying to get into that crack from the outside, it has to make it through 8 inches of that urethane. So it holds it back well, and that's why it's so effective. If you go from the outside and you just try and control the water or cover that crack up from the outside, it would be a thin layer that could eventually crack back open and maybe get water in there again, because you're not doing that same system and you're not filling that entire crack. So the inside way might be better and more effective here in St. Louis with what we know, how we're trained and how we're used to doing it, and you might get a lot better warranty. Or if they do it in a way that they're going to guarantee it, they're going to be controlling a lot of water. They're going to be digging down 8 feet deep the length of that wall to control water, and it's going to be a ginormous project.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and I will have to probably do it that way then.
Yeah, and I would just check with some people. I would advise you call Stratum Structural, and they can come out and look at it, take a look, and kind of maybe talk to you about that process a little deeper and why one way is way more effective. They'll know more about what they would do to guarantee from the outside. Then you can kind of examine those two projects.
Okay. What's the name of the company again?
Stratum Structural.
Stratum.
Yep, Stratum. Yep, they'll take care of you. I use them all the time. They do really, really great work.
Okay, the thing, you know, I've had somebody come in and tell us they were going to do it from the outside. But then from the inside.
Yeah.
And what they wound up telling me is they would, you know, take the drywall out. Unfortunately, we know about the general area where the crack is.
Yeah.
And they would come in and take out the drywall and but they didn't replace it. I'd have to get somebody else to do that. And I find that to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, and that's where for what I do with Mosby Building Arts, we work with Stratum Structure all the time, where we'll be the company that basically comes out, removes the drywall, any insulation, any framing, gets things out of the way, exposes the crack, let them fix it, get you a great warranty on it, on correcting that crack. And then we can do all the steps to put that whole area back together. So when you're, because there could be framing in the way, also there could be all that. So there could be more to do once you're inside there.
Okay.
So the advantage of us at Mosby is we can perform all of those steps: the drywall, the patching, the painting, the base trim, the framing, basically everything, and then have Stratum do that crack. So if you're interested, you could give Mosby a call too, and we could look at what it takes to do all the other steps so that you're not dealing with a drywaller, a painter, a carpenter, and a foundation company.
Okay. Well, that would work for me. And I assume he's Stratam. Is that how you spell Stratum?
It's I think it's a U. I think it's
okay.
Stratum.
Okay.
I believe.
Well, fine. I'll find it.
And we'll the Mosby people. If you call Mosby, we'll know too. They can, if you call our office, they can give you their information also.
Okay. That sounds good. I will do that because I live in Kirkwood, and it's convenient for me to call Mosby.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah, 314-909-1800 will get you to Mosby. They can get you all the Stratum's information and everything. We work with them all the time. And then we can, if you like, we can send somebody up to get them out there, take a look at it, and let you know what it takes to take it all apart and put it all back together for you. So,
All right. Rich, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. No problem. We've got couple more calls on the line here. We got to get into a break right now, the half hour break. Plenty of time, plenty more to come. We'll jump into these calls the minute we get back. Stick with us, more to come. Having a great time. A lot of people calling in with a lot of great different questions. We're getting some of my contacts out there that I use on a daily basis. So we're getting a lot of information to a lot of different people today. If you have anything else for me today, 314-436-7900 finds me right here. We've got another half hour left, and let's jump to Jim on the line. Don't want to keep him waiting any longer. Jim, thanks for calling. What do you got going on?
So I had a painter come out to paint my ceilings because I have 12-foot high ceilings and I'm not getting on a ladder. And he told me that it appears that I have truss creep in my family room. So I have 12-foot high ceilings. The trusses run east to west, and the drywall was put up on sheets north to south. And the seam that runs north to south is cracking across the three sheets of drywall in the ceiling. How do I fix that? I don't want to pay a painter and have him have it crack again, pay drywall guy and then have it crack again, because I'm told the trusses are moving.
So is it happening only where the drywall meets the wall, or is it out in the middle of the ceiling between the sheets that it's cracking?
Both places.
Both places. So I've got a pretty good fix for up against the wall that we perform to keep that from happening, because the hard part is you really it's very hard to keep these trusses from moving. So what you have mm-hmm. to usually do is work with that they're moving, and what can you do to try and just work with it and cover the cracks up and make it a system where if it keeps moving, you just won't know and it won't be an eyesore. But out in the field, I haven't seen a lot of cracks out in the middle of the ceiling where the drywall seams come together. I would be concerned that that's not just the moving, but also maybe how the work was performed in the first place, as far as if it was attached with nails and not screws and different things like that going on at the same time with the moving. So I think
I'm pretty sure it was screws, because I don't have any pops.
Okay.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, I was the first owner. I'm the first owner. The house is about 16 years old, and I kind of made trips out here to see what was going on. And I'm pretty sure that it was screws. I had thought the painter suggested getting up in the attic and along those seams, just take a 2x6.
Yes.
Cut it to fit between the rafters and screw the edges of the drywall. Put the 2x6 above the crack and screw into that between the trusses.
Yep. Yes, and that is exactly that's exactly what I was about to suggest. Is if there's something so much of that going on, you'll have to try and get up there. So there's two things you could probably try is one, you definitely want to do exactly what he was saying, and I would even maybe put a little liquid nails or something too, possibly put that 2x6 over the seam of the drywall, attach it to the trusses through the side. And then you go to the bottom side and you screw to that backing along those seams to really try mm-hmm. and tighten up and lock those seams. Another thing
you would attach the 2x6s to the trusses too.
Yes, I would. Yep.
And maybe every other truss.
I would do the whole seam all the way down.
Okay.
And the other thing you could try and do is maybe put a couple of those 2x6s, if you can get some longer ones up there, across the top of those truss cords at the bottom of it where this is happening, and attach them to each truss cord that way, almost like a small header, if you did mm-hmm. two of them on top of those truss cords. So when they're moving, they won't move separately as much. They'll kind of either go together, or one might help hold the other one and make it not move as much as it used to. And something like that could help also.
Sounds like that's a wintertime project, because it's too hot for an old man to get up there right now.
Absolutely hot to be up there right now. And it's an insulation project and all the things that go around it, of moving the insulation, putting it all back well.
Yep.
And maybe even having it resprayed once you're done and things look good. Now, against the wall, there's not a whole lot you can do if it's cracking at the wall and those trusses are lifting up at the wall. You could try and go to the edge of that wall and see if you can attach it down any better. But that's where it's really hard to keep tacked down and attached. And what I've done in the past there is I've taken crown molding and put crown molding in the room against the wall and the ceiling to cover up that crack.
Those cracks, yeah. I already have crown molding around the whole ceiling.
Oh, and is the ceiling separating from the crown?
At times it does.
And then it shrinks back down? Yep, yeah.
Yep.
So so what we do is when we put that crown molding in, I put like a piece of angled out, take a piece of a 2x4, cut it at the angle of the crown mold, and put that back there before the crown mold goes on, and attach that to the ceiling only the ceiling and you don't attach it to the wall, because as your ceiling's lifting, it can go with it. So when you attach your crown and you attach it to that angled piece of backer, you don't attach anything to the wall, and the crown will slide up and down on the wall. Don't caulk the crown to the wall. Let the ceiling lift the crown. So you could do that by removing your crown and putting it back and having it only be attached to the ceiling, and that'll keep it up against the ceiling, and it'll keep it where it's not – you won't see that crack open up and reappear, and that's all happening with the condensation, with humidity. The boards swell in the summer. The cracks close up. They shrink in the winter, and they lift up, and they make the cracks bigger. So that's pretty much what's going on there.
Okie dokie. Thanks for the info. You all have a good day.
Yeah, no problem. You have a good day, too. Great question. Great thought. I haven't seen a whole lot of that truss lift out in the middle of the room like that. So that's definitely a first that I've seen a whole lot right out in the middle of the room. So it'll take a lot of backing to get that part there corrected. Now, what I do want to say is we've been talking about all these different, and some of the people that help us with English Sweep, with Stratum, structural services for all your foundation needs and everything. I want to let everybody know out there about B&W Concrete Services, because that is another one of Mosby's trusted trade partners that we have been working with for years in the past. So just like Mosby, let B&W Concrete be your source for all things concrete. And what we love about them, they really do great work. They do things the right way. I would invite you to give them a call for any concrete need. You can find them at 636-458-3626 or bwconcrete.com. Now, they do absolutely everything with foundations, concrete retaining walls, decorative, flat work, all types of concrete, anything you need, they'll tear out and replace. They'll do new construction. It doesn't matter. We love them here at Mosby. I invite you guys to love them also. They've been around for well over like 45 years. They're local. They're family owned. You're going to have a great time with them. Again, you can find them. Give them a call, 636-458-3626, or find them online at bwconcrete.com. So we're going to get into our final break here. If you've got something for me, we'll have just enough time to get you in very, very quick. 314-436-7900. We'll return. Don't touch that dial. All right, we are back. And, you know, I've got something that I kind of promised on social media we'd talk about, and we've had such a great 2 hours so far, all the time, all the questions, different trade partners, different ways to help everybody out. We've had so much going on, I almost didn't get to it, but I wanted to talk about flushable wipes, because I've talked about flushable wipes in the past quite often, and it's always stories about how they are not flushable, how they are damaging all of our waste systems, and how the repairs and the maintenance that they have to do these days because of these so-called flushable wipes. So there's an organization that they actually have developed over the past few years, IWSFG, and it's the International Water Services Flushability Group. So they've come up with, they work to prevent damage caused by wipes. So baby wipes are not flushable. There's a lot of wipes out there that claim to be flushable, but they don't break down like toilet paper does, like they should. So, and so much so that we've had to come up with an organization to help kind of battle this and figure this out and see what we can do to make it better. So for years and years, I've been talking about don't use them, and all the plumbers are calling, oh my gosh, don't use them. They're not great. They can block up your house if they don't make it all the way out. They can just issues from all the way to the treatment plant where everything gets clogged there. I've heard stories in New York and some of the Chicago, these bigger cities, and I'm sure St. Louis has had the same issues of having to do maintenance to clean this stuff out. And now it's getting thrown away in the landfills because it's just not going away like it should. So cool thing we just found. So they actually have, Cottonelle has a flushable wipe now. It is actually made with fibers that are 100% plant sourced, and it breaks down like regular toilet paper. So I posted a video this morning, said we'd kind of chat about this today, of a video from the company of watching the water kind of spin and how one of these wipes breaks down exactly like toilet paper does in the same amount of time. Now, these wipes, they do meet some guidelines set by this IWF SG group from 2020, and there's another industry that's looked at this, a disposable wipe trade association that's looked at it, that they approve of it, and plumbers approve of these wipes. Now I will warn you, when you always want to read what they recommend, and so they're saying only do like one or two wipes per flush. So there's still, it's kind of like you use too much toilet paper, you can clog your lines and your toilet and everything with too much of really anything. But these are figured out, they break down, they're good if you only use one or two, and they will work just like toilet paper, and we can stop having a lot of these issues that we've had in the past 4 or 5 years. I mean, obviously they came up with this group in 2020, so enough had been happening up to then where they we got to get some people together and figure out a resolve and a solution to this problem. So yeah, this is a great thing. Go to my social media and check out the video. And if you use wipes, I would say please only use one or two and start using these actual type of wipes that say they are promoted by these organizations and have done the testing and do work, use the recommendations, and it's just a really great thing to do. And with the newer toilets now and the way they flush so forcefully to the point where we actually have to, like we were talking about earlier, the back-to-back toilets, we have to actually work on the plumbing stacks to make these work in our houses. They flush really well. So I would recommend to people that you don't really have to be worried about replacing your toilet these days. We had a call last week where he was trying to do everything to save that old toilet. Well, these newer toilets, the good thing is they really do use a lot less water, less than half of what they used to have, 3 gallon flushes. If you really raised, you could almost get 3.5 gallon flush out of a toilet. That was better when the toilets were designed to flush that way. Now they've changed those designs, and there are some toilets out there. American Standard has a Champion 4, I think is the name of it, that, I mean, this works really, really well, and it is not on the list of toilets. It is not the most expensive toilet. They are affordable for new toilets. So instead of trying to rebuild and go through all that, I wouldn't worry about it. I would change your toilet, get a good toilet like that. It doesn't have to cost the top of the line for a toilet. And it's a really great thing. I have one of those in my house, and it's absolutely, absolutely love it. It works well. It flushes well. I never have a problem with it whatsoever. So, hey, great show, great couple hours. I appreciate everybody out there. Appreciate the list of callers. Had a great time. I will talk to everybody next week. And between now and then, just, hey, stay good and be good to your homes.
Hey, folks.
All right. We are back. And, you know, I've got something that I kind of promised on social media we'd talk about. And we've had such a great 2 hours so far, all the time, all the questions, different trade partners, different ways to help everybody out. We've had so much going on, I almost didn't get to it, but I wanted to talk about flushable wipes because I've talked about flushable wipes in the past quite often, and it's always stories about how they are not flushable, how they are damaging all of our waste systems and how the repairs and the maintenance that they have to do these days because of these so-called flushable wipes. So there's an organization that they actually have developed over the past few years, IWSFG, and it's the International Water Services Flushability Group. So they've come up with, they work to prevent damage caused by wipes. So baby wipes are not flushable. There's a lot of wipes out there that claim to be flushable, but they don't break down like toilet paper does, like they should. So, and so much so that we've had to come up with an organization to help kind of battle this and figure this out and see what we can do to make it better. So for years and years, I've been talking about don't use them, and all the plumbers are calling, oh my gosh, don't use them. They're not great. They can block up your house if they don't make it all the way out. They can just issues from all the way to the treatment plant where everything gets clogged there. I've heard stories in New York and some of the Chicago, these bigger cities, and I'm sure St. Louis has had the same issues of having to do maintenance to clean this stuff out, and now it's getting thrown away in the landfills because it's just not going away like it should. So, cool thing we just found. So, they actually have, Cottonelle has a flushable wipe now. It is actually made with fibers that are 100% plant sourced, and it breaks down like regular toilet paper. So, I posted a video this morning, said we'd kind of chat about this today, of a video from the company of watching the water kind of spin and how one of these wipes breaks down exactly like toilet paper does in the same amount of time. Now, these wipes, they do meet some guidelines set by this IWSFG group from 2020, and there's another industry that's looked at this, a disposable wipe trade association that's looked at it, that they approve of it, and plumbers approve of these wipes. Now I will warn you, when you always want to read what they recommend, and so they're saying only do like one or two wipes per flush. So there's still, it's kind of like you use too much toilet paper, you can clog your lines and your toilet and everything with too much of really anything. But these are figured out, they break down, they're good if you only use one or two, and they will work just like toilet paper, and we can stop having a lot of these issues that we've had in the past 4 or 5 years. I mean, obviously they came up with this group in 2020. So enough had been happening up to then where we got to get some people together and figure out a resolve and a solution to this problem. So yeah, this is a great thing. Go to my social media and check out the video. And if you use wipes, I would say, please only use one or two and start using these actual type of wipes that say they are promoted by these organizations and have done the testing and do work, use the recommendations, and it's just a really great thing to do. And with the newer toilets now and the way they flush so forcefully, to the point where we actually have to, like we were talking about earlier, the back-to-back toilets, we have to actually work on the plumbing stacks to make these work in our houses. They flush really well. So I would recommend to people that you don't really have to be worried about replacing your toilet these days. We had a call last week where he was trying to do everything to save that old toilet. Well, these newer toilets, the good thing is they really do use a lot less water, less than half of what they used to have 3-gallon flushes. If you really raised, you could almost get 3.5-gallon flush out of a toilet. That was better when the toilets were designed to flush that way. Now they've changed those designs, and there are some toilets out there. American Standard has a Champion 4, I think is the name of it, that, I mean, this works really, really well, and it is not, on the list of toilets, it is not the most expensive toilet. They are affordable for new toilets. So instead of trying to rebuild and go through all that, I wouldn't worry about it. I would change your toilet, get a good toilet like that. It doesn't have to cost the top of the line for a toilet. And it's a really great thing. I have one of those in my house, and it's absolutely love it. It works well. It flushes well. I never have a problem with it whatsoever. So, hey, great show, great couple hours. I appreciate everybody out there. Appreciate the list of callers. Had a great time. I will talk to everybody next week. And between now and then, just, hey, stay good and be good to your homes.
Hey, folks.